EPs and some singles. And so tonight we're going to kind of go through it and play a ton of songs from almost all of the music selections on it. So welcome to the show, Barney.
Thanks for having me, Mary. Appreciate it. Good to be here.
Thanks for joining. So why don't we start off the show? In March 2021, you released an EP called Doll City. Yep. And let's play the song Melt from it, and then we'll come back and we'll chat, okay?
Good. Cool.
Melt off of Doll City, an EP released by Barney Cortez, who's joining me tonight. So Barney, just over a week ago, you released a cover of a Depeche Mode song called Policy of Truth. I've read that you've got an EP coming out soon this summer, and in the past year, you've released a ton of music. In, you know, most of your 2018 and 2019 was spent touring parts of it with the Raylan Baxter Band, which is how I met you. And so you've been super busy in quarantine. Has it been good to have a break from touring, or are you kind of dying to get back out there?
It was, yeah, the break was nice for a little bit, but it was definitely like way too long. I mean, it was nice for a little bit, but then I had my own, you know, like we all did, had my own issues to after where you just kind of like, you know, going stir crazy and a certain type of isolation and sort of started to feel claustrophobic with everything and the state of the world. And so, yeah, it was nice for a little bit, but so I tried to, you know, I made the Doll City EP with a friend of mine. We just did it because all the studios were closed, so we just my other EP, well, yeah, I put out two EPs during it, but the first EP I put out pretty thin. I did that at a studio, and so, but you know, I had no, we couldn't really do that. So what I ended up doing was, you know, recording at home, and then kind of like, if I needed different parts, I'd email them to people, and then they would like overdub stuff, record stuff on top at their house, and then they'd email it back, and then I'd send it to get, and then I'd mix it. And so it was all kind of like a collaborative effort like that. So, you know, a lot of people make music like that, even not during pandemic, but I like, that's not how I prefer to do it. I like to go into a studio with somebody and like, kind of like have a good amount of people around to sort of get a vibe of whether something's working or not. So, but you know, it's all, you never know how you're going to get the best result. You just kind of have to, I'm still just trying to make a cohesive group of songs. That's what I'm hoping my album will be.
Was there anything that came out of that type of recording? So that kind of like sending music out and receiving it back that hadn't happened when you were in a studio? Like, was there anything kind of unique that came out of that?
Well, to be honest, no. But, but
let's get the, you know what you like then, like you know what you prefer, and so that's,
yeah, for sure, yeah, definitely. Well, you don't know what you prefer until you hear it. You know, it's hard to explain. Right. And then when you hear it, then you know it. Either go, this is working or this doesn't work. You know,
right?
So, I did learn a lot actually from the stuff I did release during pandemic, which was that I wanted to do things slightly different and kind of step my game up a little bit more.
Let's talk about how you kind of got into music. So I've seen on your, I think on your Instagram, I saw some great footage of you and your father playing guitar together. And
oh yeah.
I read that he was a music journalist when you were growing up. So what was kind of like the first, I guess maybe song that you remember learning how to play?
Man, that's, I, you know, the first music I was really into as a kid before I played an instrument or anything, I was really into Tom Waits, and I was really into Peter Gabriel. I remember, I don't know why, but my dad was like listening to them. He was like listening to a lot of Tom Waits, like Nighthawks at the Diner, that album where it's kind of doing like the jazz free poetry kind of thing. And then Rain Dogs, it's like, I mean, that's a like amazing record, you know, but I mean, I remember being like 9 years old and being, but I think as a kid, you know, I was probably reacting to how he had like such a strange voice, such a cartoonish kind of like growl to his voice. So that's probably what drew me in at first. Cause I think about that a lot as to what I reacted to before I could play music and was like a big music head, you know, because I try to keep that in mind, because you can get blind in turn. You can make music that like people aren't going to relate to a lot, because you go down your like own little rabbit holes with music, or like you get into this one particular style or something, or this kind of sound that maybe for superficial reasons or something. And
do you remember maybe the first time that you were listening to music and you could kind of discern the different instruments that you heard from it? So, So tell us a little bit about that.
What do you mean? You mean, did I hear certain instruments?
Yeah. Like kind of when music kind of shifted from just hearing music to being like, oh, that's a bass, that's a guitar, that's a drum, like kind of.
Oh yeah. Well, I guess when I picked up the acoustic guitar, my dad took me to this place called 8th Street Music, which is in Chinatown, and used to be. It's not, they closed, because like pretty much there's hardly any, because of, I guess, this tax in the city of Philadelphia, there's hardly any you know, music store businesses. They all went to New Jersey is only like 10 minutes over the bridge, so a lot of the businesses went there. But we went to Chinatown. You could go right downtown, and they had this awesome music store. And we went and bought an acoustic guitar for like $60. And I played the hell out of that guitar for like 2 years. And I even took it to Mexico when I was a teenager. And then somebody stole it. in Mexico. So it was a, that was, I stole it out of the bottom of a bus. I was riding. I stopped at one stop, and when I got out at my stop down in like Mexico City, somebody had grabbed it at the stop before. I'd just, you know, I was stupid and I just left it in underneath, right. You know, but the guitar, you know, when I started playing the guitar, then I got obsessed with that. And I wanted to hear, you know, I tuned into all the guitars, and like, I got really right. into strumming. And Between the Buttons was one of my favorite records. And then I would listen to the live album, Get Your Yeah Yeahs Out, that has like all of the, so I would play along to all those songs through this little amp that my mom got me at the thrift store. And
that's awesome.
Yeah. And it was cool. And that's, you know, I'm looking back, like that stuff was so like, I had no, the tone was probably terrible, but you know, when you're a kid,
yeah,
you know, it's just like,
Do you have any recordings of you young playing music?
You know, not so, no. I mean, yeah, I did get a tape, a little 4-track tape machine. Yeah. And my first songs I wrote when I was about 13, I think. But mm-hmm. man, those are gone. And I have no idea where they would be. I mean, I can actually remember some of the songs. I wrote the song about, I thought that like, I read that like Bob, like I became a big obsessed with Bob Dylan by the time, you know, I think I was about 14 or something. Mm-hmm. And I got obsessed with his, like the first few albums, like Another Side of Bob Dylan. And then, it's Another Side of Bob Dylan. And then, Freewheelin' Bob Dylan. They're like so third and fourth albums or something. Really, really good. It's just him with the guitar.
Have you heard about that center that they're opening in Tulsa, Oklahoma? And it's like dedicated to his whole history. It's basically like,
wow,
it's a complete archive. I think it opens this year. You should check it out.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. I'd love to see that. I went to see him for the first time in Brooklyn at the Beacon Theater. It's up in Brooklyn. Right. Yeah, it was cool. Bought a ticket for like $180 and just because I was like, man, he's getting old. Like he might pass away. Like
exactly.
You never know. Like David Bowie's gone and like all these legends are gone. So I went to go see him.
That was Telescope by Barney Cortez. Barney's joining me tonight. We talked a little bit before about kind of like going into studios and stuff like that. And I guess I want to ask a little bit about kind of like the music community in Philly. So last, I guess, May, you did a fundraiser for all the performance venues in Philadelphia. And I think this upcoming October, you're playing Philly Music Fest on like October 8th, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And so what's the community like in there? So we're in Canada here. So can you talk a little bit about what the scene is like there?
Yeah, it's Philly's got a little bit of everything. That the history of music here goes back to a lot of soul music and Gamble and Huff, which were like the OJs. They did a lot of like, they did like Hall & Oates came out of here.
Nice.
And they're from this area. And you know, that kind of like soul sound that Hall & Oates kind of took and like made glossy and like pop, made kind of more poppy. You know, so that they kind of took their sound from the whole Gamble and Huff were these producers that came out of here, and you know, they recorded in this studio. So it's, you know, there's a lot of like church musicians, gospel musicians, big jazz scene. It's interesting because it's, you know, there's no country music here, you know, it's not the South, it's the Northeast, but it's also not New York either. Like, so it doesn't have like the steez of New York. So it's kind of like a lot of people just live here under the radar. And, there's a lot of awesome artists that come out of here, you know, bigger bands like War on Drugs and, Hop Along, who's my friend of mine, Francis, and Alex G, Modern Baseball. They're like a kind of pop punk band.
And so let's play another song. I really love this song. It's called Necessary Evil. And I read a quote about it from the Philadelphia Globe, and it said that Cortez is addressing the cognitive dissonance between surface-level reality and deep-level internal conflict. So as I was kind of like reading up a bunch about other people and how they speak of your music, you've got a really – people really connect with your music, and I think it really intrigues people because it's – there's just a huge variance to it. And so I think it has kind of a level in both the lyrics and the instrumentation that seems to strike a chord, no pun intended, with people. Mm. So let's listen to that song, Necessary Evil, and then we'll come back and we'll chat, okay?
Great.
Necessary evil. It's a necessary evil.
that was Necessary Evil by Barney Cortez. Barney joins me tonight on Dangerfield on 101.5 FM The Hawk. So Barney is a Philadelphia-based musician. You can find his music, all the streaming music services, and on Instagram at instagram.com/Barney.Cortez. So Barney, you're a multi-instrumentalist yourself. How many different instruments do you play?
Well, guitar at first, then I play bass, keyboards, and play a little bit of drums.
Is there an instrument that you want to learn that you haven't yet?
Yeah, probably like, that's a good question. I mean, I'd like to just become better at piano. Like actually sit, you know, if I actually had more time, I would like sit down and like actually learn to play pieces that I, you know, I like just learn how to play my songs on it and can get by with like the theory. I can sit down and play a song that I hear and all that stuff. But like, I'd like to sit down sometime and actually work out how to play certain pieces and, you know, which is, you know, I can just do what I need to do to produce my music, but which takes enough time, but I would like to someday, maybe when I'm like an old man, I'll like, actually that's, I won't care about producing music and trying to be something. And I'll just sit down for myself and make, you know, and just practice.
And when you hear music, so when you listen to other people's music, how do you hear it? Because everyone kind of hears music differently, I find. So,
yeah.
Like, listen to it and kind of save the parts. So they might like not listen to the lyrics first and only listen to the instrumentation. And some people listen to music as almost like a summary of what the influences are in their head. So do you have a standard way that you hear music? Does it depend on the songs you hear, or can you talk a little bit about that?
It depends on the song, definitely. Yeah. But I try to listen to music, like, not as a musician, too. I just kind of, like, you know, because really I like, really I'm at the end of the day, I'm just like everybody else. I like a catchy, something that's catchy and sounds like, you know, I think everybody responds to something that sounds honest and then clever and, like, catchy or something, you know. It's hard to describe what makes a song. But there's definitely a certain thing in all the songs that most people respond to that must have a common thread. Like, the melodies are good and it's got the right feeling behind it or something, you know? So,
and you're a great lyricist. And so, do you find that sometimes you write down words and then you create the melody around them, or are you someone that kind of starts with a melody and then adds the words to it?
I do both, because I used to journal a lot, and I've done all types of different ways. A lot of songs I've written, I actually wrote the titles first.
Oh, no way.
And just, you know, I try to think of like cool titles, something that sounds cool, and then try to base the song around that. But you know, it's some stuff that, you know, you go through the day and you see certain things, and then like, I try to frame whatever feeling I saw or something, that some instance that I saw. You can do it. There's so many different ways to do things. Write the titles.
I think it's like Brian Eno. He's got this kind of card deck. I don't know if you've heard about this. And it's got some weird name, but it's almost like a musician prompt. So it's like you picture this kind of stack of cards and you pull one out and it's got almost this music challenge to it.
Yeah, he did that with David Bowie, I think. So
yeah. So let's play a song off of your EP, Pretty Thin. It came out in August 2020. It's called Some Kind of Exit, and then we'll come back and we'll chat, okay?
Okay.
Out it was raining. Second hand's going backwards, and your references are dated. Watch my reach for the doorknob. Heart's keeper is a big slob. And I pet a white raven, and my mom's elated. And my brain is braided, but I don't need saving. This is some kind of message, some kind of exit. Rode a bicycle to heaven over the 7-Eleven. Handsome Harry died 9 times, and then Sarah started crying. There were angels in the windows, tangling with the phone lines. Megan jumped in the river, and no one really knows why. The poet is tongue-tied, and the guard's on overtime. Guess it's some kind of message, some kind of again. She only wants to be friends. He's drawn to the ones that never need anybody. The ones that she attracts, they need everybody. He said, give me the drugs back. I think it's time to crash. This is some kind of message, some kind of
was Some Kind of Exit by Barney Cortez, who's joining me tonight on Dangerfield. So Barney, that EP that you put out in August 2020, there's another song on that called A Dream Within a Dream, and it's got a really cool video that you did to it, where it's this kind of like one long take frame, and you've got about 10 different people that come in and play characters within it. And you've made a bunch of really great videos. So can you talk a little bit about like your process for that? So is it the kind of thing where you kind of hand over your song to someone who's going to create the video, and then they come back to you with ideas? Do you kind of direct what you kind of want the song to visually look like? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. You know, I usually try to get help with that type of thing, but for that Dream Within a Dream, I lucked out and I just, that came together. You know, I had like 2 hours to make that video, and it was really hard to get those, all my friends together at the, at the right time. And we did it out on this pier.
And how many takes did it take? Cause it's a one take video, right?
We just did it twice.
No way.
So we just picked the second one. Cause my friend, half of them had to leave. They had to like go to work and shit.
No way.
We had to just like bang it out. I mean, sometimes that's why it works, when you're in a rush and you can't overthink something.
Right.
Other times, but also it was on the verge of like barely not even happening, you know, like I was like, you know, and like, cause I was like trying to make, like I was in my notebook trying to piece it together and make it be perfect. And my friend just grabbed my notebook and he was just like, dude, I got to leave in like 15 minutes. So like, just like put the notebook down. We're just going to fucking rip it and go for it.
And is that your dad in it? Like the older guy that's in
No, that's actually my dad's roommate.
Oh, no way. Yeah.
That's this guy, Mike. He lives with my dad. They got the bachelor, old man bachelor pad.
Right. That's awesome. Yeah, so for folks that want to check that out, you can find it on YouTube. The song's called Dream Within a Dream. So let's listen to that, and then we'll come back and we'll chat, okay?
Okay.
Dream Within a Dream by Barney Cortez, who joins me tonight on Dangerfield on 101.5 FM The Hawk. So Barney, another song I want to chat about is a song called Appetite. You put that out in May 2020, and it's got a lyric in it that says, I can't sleep at night. So are you someone who writes at night? Do you stay up at night? Do you write?
I like to, Like I'm at my studio right now and I'll probably be here till like 7 a.m. That's how I roll, like, usually. And then I sleep in the day, but then sometimes I have to do shit like in the day.
Right.
So it's, if I don't do stuff till later, then I can stay up this late. Like, but I'm trying to finish this EP right now. So I'm been working late. This guy was just cutting drums and he left. So yeah, my schedule changes a lot. I definitely have sleep issues, but I've tried to go on a regular schedule and then that makes me feel even crazier sometimes. Going to bed at a normal time and then like getting up in the morning. And then, cause I don't really like, I'm a bit of a vampire. I always feel best when the sun is going down, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, it's just like the weight of the world. It seems to lift a bit when the sun's going down, but, I don't like, I don't like the middle of the day, you know what I mean? It just gives me anxiety. Like,
Mm-hmm. conversation. It's all across the nation. I'm laughing too loud because you know I've got a feeling.
Honestly, don't even like crowds, you know, like I don't like, I mean, I love to play on big stages for big people, but like I'm the type of person that, you know, after a show or something, I just want to be in like a little room with like cut, like, you know, two or three of my friends or something. Right. I don't like being in big parties and shit, you know. I don't like, yeah, I mean, I'm kind of antisocial, to be honest with you. I'm not gonna fake like I'm like some,
right,
you know, some social butterfly, because I'm really, I can fake it and I can be charming, mm-hmm, when I want, but it takes a certain amount of energy, you know.
Right.
Some people can be social butterflies, but because I can put on an act if I feel like it. But other people do that and it's natural, you know, and that's how they go through their day, being like, hey, how's it going? Chitty chat,
yeah,
you know? And, but me, like, I have to like detach after a while and be like, oh, I gotta like get away. Like, I don't want to hear anyone talk.
It's like, it's draining. Right.
And I'm, you know, and I'm selfish with my time too. I'm, you know, sometimes, unless somebody's really interesting, it's like, I'll talk to somebody, for a bit, and then like, yeah, I would rather just like get back to me working on music or like reading, trying to catch up on like some music, some books that I'm reading or something, you know. Like I think I used to maybe be afraid to say that because that seems like almost like it's rude or something, but I think there's nothing wrong with just claiming your time. Really, you know. It's like, it'd be one thing if I had some kids or something and I was like ignoring my children, but like, I don't have any like babies right now or anything.
And have you ever thought about writing a book maybe? And if you did.
Yeah, I have. I got a bunch of poetry. I write poetry.
Oh, cool.
But I want to put out a book of poetry. I have 20 notebooks filled with stuff.
Oh,
like
great.
just piled up, you know, tons of shit that I've written over, because I started probably writing it about 10 years ago.
And do you have like a specific kind of notebook that you write them all in, or are you kind of someone that like cause sometimes
usually just those those college ruled school marble notebooks, you know.
Yep.
Totally. Yeah, I use that. But I actually started, my friend recommended I get this thing called The Artist's Way. It's this book where you write, it was actually written by Martin Scorsese's wife.
No way.
And it has a foreword. It's to open up your creative flow, and you write in it every day. You write 3 pages, and it's called, they call it morning pages.
Yeah.
And you just write whatever the hell you feel like. And, it's actually really difficult.
Well, I actually read a great piece of advice from I read it on I think it was like Twitter or something, and it was someone who writes for a living. And they said that the most freeing piece of advice that they got was, oftentimes as like creators or people, like you focus on exactly what you're writing, and like that's why it takes so long to do it. And so the advice that he got was, you know, write 5 pages like of anything and then go back and edit it. And oftentimes that's more freeing than trying to perfect it on the way. So I thought that was kind of
Oh yeah, definitely. I definitely agree with that.
So let's talk a little bit about, so in June 2019, you put out an album called Cry Baby, and there's a song in it called Golden Age that I'd like to play. So let's play that and we'll come back and we'll chat, okay?
Oh, that's like demos.
Oh, I like that song.
Oh, thanks. It's just funny that I forgot about that. That's just like super, that's not even mastered. It's just like raw.
I think it sounds great.
Oh, thanks.
I heard the song the other day, coming out somebody's window, and it stopped me dead in my tracks. Something I could get into. All these laws I couldn't abide. It's alright, I don't think anyone's alive. Wish you could see my stride, 'cause I don't think anybody dies. Hey, hey, it's time to disengage. There is no golden. There's a secret society. You're the one who's not allowed. You're the only one in the world who ever let somebody down. Hey, are you living over there? Well, everybody wants to know. They've got the world in their hands. They've got the power in their toes. Hey, hey, it's time to disengage. There is no golden age. There is no golden age. It's all been done before, and I'm doing it again. That's no reason to stop now. There's still time to get free. I'm still doing my Lou Reed. I'm doing my Miriam Beatrice. I'm losing the love of my life. I turn a day into night. Hey, hey, it's time to disengage. I still miss my golden age. I still miss my golden age.
That was Golden Age, apparently a demo, which I didn't even know that. I thought it was a like completely finished song because it sounds awesome, by Barney Cortez, who's joining me tonight. You lived in L.A. for a bit, is that correct? Yeah? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a couple of years I lived out there. I had a band out there with this band, The Rituals. We played out there. It was the band I formed after my band with Nico's Gun, and this band called Nico's Gun, which had Nick in it. And then Nick went and joined Cage the Elephant. Mm-hmm. And actually, that's how I got linked up with Rayland, because Nick played on Rayland's album Wide Awake, and then Nick's like my best friend. He was in we were in the band together, and he moved to Nashville, you know, because he joined Cage, and so that's where he got linked. You know, Rayland was down in Nashville, so they linked up, and then when he couldn't do the tour, Nick called me, and then. And he got me linked up with Rayland, and that's how me and Ray met.
No way. And then you also have another band with Nick. It's like called, like, what is it called?
Oh, the Rich Mystics.
Yeah. Is that current project, or is that something that you've just done in the past?
I don't know. We might do some stuff again, but yeah, it's online. It's on Spotify too. Yeah, it's on Spotify. Okay. We did two EPs with a friend, this engineer. Yeah, they're cool. I like that stuff. So it holds up. I actually recut one of the songs that I'm about to put out. This song called Star Kids. I actually just produced it in this studio I'm at now, and I'm going to put it out on my own. I just redid a new version of it. I'm going to put out, you know.
Well, that kind of leads into like my next question, which is, what song have you written maybe that's changed the most from its demo format to its final version that's ended up being released?
Oh, wow. Probably Dream Within a Dream. That would be that was way different. The demo was way different.
Was it slower?
No, it was the same speed, but it was way more, it was way weirder. Like the verses, I was trying to, it was about a, you know, I was trying to convey like a dream, you know, in a song. So it wasn't very melodic at all. It was like really like weird, almost like spoken kind of. And my friend Harry, I played it for him and he was just like, yeah, he was just like, I don't know, it's not catchy enough. Like, you should make the verses more melodic. And so, actually, you know, a song actually inspired that song, like, just melodically is, and energy wise is, you ever heard of the band The English Beat?
Yeah, of course.
It's called The Beat. They have that song. It's like, oh, save it for later.
What's like what's the most difficult song that you've ever written? So kind of the one that's been the most challenging for you to kind of
difficult to write to get finished, sort of.
Yeah, like sometimes like people like are you someone that kind of, I mean, you put out a ton of music, so are you naturally someone who just kind of bangs out a song, or is there a song that's made you've really kind of haven't been able to finish it until you found it was perfect?
Sometimes writing. No, because like usually I feel like with, you know, I heard stuff about how Leonard Cohen would like take like years to write all the verses to Hallelujah or something like that. But I'm never really like that. Like if I have to take a really long time to write the song, I feel like I lose the inspiration. But I might take more time trying to produce it. Right. I'll produce it. I'll know a song is good, but then you keep producing it and you're not liking the way you're producing it. Just the vibe's not right. And like, so that can be more difficult for me, but the writing, my rule is I always try to finish a song, even if I think it's probably not a keeper, like I'll just like finish it anyway. But,
And have you ever recorded something that you like forgot that you'd done and then you kind of found it later?
Yeah, I just did that. That just happened to me. Like I had this one day where I just pulled out my old laptop and like was listening to all these old sessions, and I basically heard like three songs that I really liked that I totally forgot about, and I was like, oh man, I need to redo these. So I just redid two of them.
I want to talk next about maybe about Patti Smith right before we go. And so that was is it true you got a chance to give her your song that you'd written about her?
I did, yeah. She did this like, she did this thing on Walt Whitman's birthday, and she performed with her daughter. They did like right in the right downtown of Philly. She's actually from right outside Philly originally. And I just like walked up to her, gave her the CD, and I told her my friend also played in a band with her daughter. So I kind of like had that as an intro. I was like, hey, I know Dom. And he plays for Lucy Dacus now. Shout out to Dom Angelella. What's up, Dom? she's actually real shy. It's crazy because she was on stage. I mean, whatever. Like, she's super famous. So it's like, I just walked up to her. I tried to give her space. But I was like, hey, I gave her her CD. And then I walked away and I saw her like looking at the title. So. She's a legend. I mean, her life, just her life, the life she's lived, like all the stuff
Right.
she's done is like unreal, you know, all the cool stuff that
Totally.
she's gotten to do.
But I just wanted to say thank you so much for your time tonight. This has been
Yeah, no problem.
A wonderful conversation. It's been really enjoyable. Good night, okay?
Yeah, great talking with you. Thanks for having me.
Okay, take care.
All right. See you on the other side. See ya.
Recovery. inside with the cartilage, get a free ride. Last night it was hellish, thought I was Elvis. Without the hips, then I laid up a kiss on a guy with a dress, smile under duress. I beat the cock to rest. Every day recovery, every day recovery. What time was the time? Fall into two. Not to go out. Now they're blowing the bugle. That's my favorite song. I respond to the call. I'm likely to crawl, but as soon as you whistle, I can run like a dog. I'm really nervous. I've been smoking for days, so I got me a tease. Gotta keep me awake, keep me running amazed. Do it over again till I meet with the same.